Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
And now, the list of things that you can buy at the Chicago Reader store at chicagoreader.com. Things to wear like Chicago Reader hats, t-shirts, bandanas, and face masks. Things for your daily life like the Chicago Reader camping mug, Chicago Reader tote bags, and a Chicago Reader reporter's notebook. Things for you to read like our Reader recipes, the Chicago Reader 420 Companion, our Chicago Reader Best Of book series from journalists Maya Duke-Masaba, Mike Sula, Ben Jarofsky, and Lior Galil, the Chicago Reader coloring book, and the Chicago Reader Stay Home puzzle. Find the Chicago Reader store at chicagoreader.com and show your support for the nation's first free weekly newspaper since 1971.
Bonus time in the Ben Jarofsky Show as I speak. It's Saturday, January 8th, 2022. Yes! Doing a recording on a Saturday. First time ever. Shattering all previous protocol in the Ben Jarofsky Show. Special circumstances have dictated this. I won't go into it because who cares? Anyway, here's the headline in the Chicago Sun-Times delivered today. Give you a sense of what's going on in the world. CPS, that's Chicago Public Schools for you out-of-towners. CPS testing turmoil. Absolute chaos at the Board of Education of the City of Chicago. They're incapable of coming up with a systematic protocol to protect the students and the teachers and all the other school employees in this city. An absolute disgrace, if I must say so myself. And it's only because the teachers union had the sense to stop things. So we could like try to figure it out. There's not schools, open schools in the city of Chicago where kids would be exposed to all kinds of COVID, et cetera, and so forth. All right, I'm going to get off my high horse for that on that point for the moment and try to be a little more positive in this conversation. That's what this whole entire show was originally dedicated to be, a discussion of how I, Ben, Mr. Cynic, Mr. Jaded, Mr. Skeptic, can be more positive looking forward in the year 2022. And so I turned to this distinguished guest to help me through this new form of positivity. And as I do with all guests, I'm going to ask my distinguished guest to introduce herself. So distinguished guest, introduce yourself.
Hi, Ben Jarofsky. I'm Courtney Sauls. I am an actor, yogi, all-around optimist, which is why you have me today. I'm an actor. You can see me most recently on Netflix's Dear White People, playing the character Brooke. I also teach yoga and have been teaching for 10 years, over 10 years, practicing for 20. So a good amount of my life. And I am so happy to be here with you today.
I am so happy to have you here, Courtney. Courtney's one of my favorite people in the universe. I'm going to refrain because she stars in Dear White People to seek her for advice as I go through life dealing with white people. We're going to stay away from that. And maybe we'll do a whole show. Advice from Courtney to Ben. How do you deal with white people? You know, you'd think it'd be something I would know a lot about, Courtney, having been around white people my entire life. Anyway, I have to start before we do delve into the positivity stuff and the COVID stuff. I was really impressed. Don't get mad at me. Don't say I'm old man explaining because there's a huge generational gap between me and Courtney. She's much younger than I am. As such, I'm a baby boomer. I grew up, one of my heroes right up there with Paul Newman was Sidney Poitier. And I thought everybody forgot about him. He wasn't one of my Paul Newman. Courtney was my favorite actor when I was a kid, but Sidney Poitier was right there, second place. You know, I saw all of his movies from the 60s into the 70s. Then I watched the movies he directed. I thought he was the world's coolest guy. Well, Paul Newman's the world's coolest guy. Actually, Denzel is the coolest guy right now.
Denzel is the coolest guy, yes.
Right. I think we're in agreement on that. Paul Newman is pretty damn cool. But Sidney Poitier, he was just the way he carried himself. And I was so, and again, I don't want to be old man explaining, but I was just so like, wow, impressed. On your Instagram, you gave a shout out to Sidney. So how did you, a millennial, you know, how did you get connected to someone from the 60s and the 70s, like the great Sidney Poitier?
Well, first, as I said, I am an actor. So, you know, he is a legend. He is one of the first, literally the first African-American to win an Oscar. So he's amazing. And you, if you know your history, you know who he is. And as you had said, he just carries himself with such grace. He was always just such a titan, and just felt so so humble, and just really like a lovely person. But the way that I was introduced to Sidney Poitier is I'm a theater girl, so I grew up in the theater, and the very first time that I saw him in anything was A Raisin in the Sun. I did see the movie. Obviously, I wasn't around to see him do the play, but the movie with another one of my favorites, Ruby Dee, who plays Ruth Younger. And so I found Lorraine Hansberry, the playwright, when I was in high school, who, shout out to Chicago, Lorraine Hansberry is from Chicago.
And go in high school.
In high school. Well, you know, a play. So I at that time, I was really seeking out plays, but really seeking out Black playwrights, really interested in that work, and came across her her work, and came across Raising the Sun, which is one of the greats. That's how I was introduced to Sidney Poitier. I watched the movie and was just in awe of his presence, of his talent, of his skill, of just who he is as a person. And then diving deeper, like learning all that he's done, for the world. He was a great activist and humanitarian as well. So that's how I found the guy. Loved him. Fell in love with him. And I think that, you know, he's somebody who can never be forgotten.
So was it a situation where there's some parents, and I'm speaking of myself right now, who are telling their kids as they're growing up, you got to watch this movie. This movie is the one to watch. So did you have somebody like that in your life who would say, Courtney, you must watch fill in the blanks,
Color Purple.
Well, okay, I was trying to go back to the 60s, but okay. Sorry. You're so young. Someone tell you to watch The Color Purple. That was 85, it came out.
Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, Lilies of the Field, Heat of the Night. I mean, come on. I actually, what's crazy is when I was in college and living in New York, I came across this thing where they were doing the park. They would do films, movies in the park during the summer, similar to what we, and if you live in LA, Hollywood Forever, they have that out here. But they were playing Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. This was so many years ago. I'm not going to age myself, but many, many years ago. And it was just really, really cool that, you know, they play old movies, and I went with a bunch of friends. And of course, I had already known who he was, but just starting to get into the breadth of his work and seeing him in all these other different really amazing roles. And just also knowing the role that he played, I don't know, as a mentor, as an idol to so many in the business. I wrote on my Instagram, I said, the blueprint, because he is one of the originals. He's the OG. There wouldn't be a Denzel if there wasn't a Sidney Poitier.
Yeah, absolutely. That's so true. And by the way, in the heat of the night, I urge everybody to check it out. I watched it again. I saw it as a kid. I think I've probably seen that movie, I don't know, five or six times. It was really one of my favorite movies when I was a kid, Courtney. And I watched it again. And it, like, there's a scene in The Heat of the Night that was so powerful and earth-shattering. I know this is going to sound weird, but back in the 60s when it came out, and this is a scene where, okay, so Sidney Poitier in this movie, just for folks who hasn't seen it, is a police detective from Philadelphia who is literally trapped in a small southern town in the 60s. He's accused of murder. I don't want to give anything away because it is a suspense thriller, but there's this scene, and he ends up tag teaming with the sheriff, Rod Steiger, so there's this scene where he confronts this really powerful, rich guy, white guy in that town, and the guy slaps Sidney Poitier, and Sidney Poitier slapped him back, and that it was such an earth-shattering thing. A black man slaps a white man. I was like, you know, that was before Shaft and the black exploitation movies of the 70s. I mean, it was like, what? And it was so controversial. I know you know all this stuff, Courtney, but it was so controversial that they were like, wouldn't show it in the South. You know, they took that scene out. That particular scene, Courtney, is, I don't know if you've seen this, like a lot of people have been putting it up on Instagram and Twitter, what have you. The part that always gets me is there's a actor who plays the black servant in the background. I don't know if you've noticed that guy. And the look he shows, first of all, it's great acting by that guy, just without saying a word. You know what I'm saying? Just resonates so powerfully.
Well, I think he's playing the role of the audience in that way, in a way. He is, you know, showing, he is the observer. In a way that's on screen, but that's how probably so many black people felt when they saw this thing that you call earth shattering, because it actually literally was. I mean, to see that on screen, to see a black man identify himself, or we always identify ourselves of, but present ourselves as equals, right? You slap me, I slap you. We are on equal playing ground. And up until then, you were never really seeing black men, black women, black people as being equal to whites on or off film. So I think that is what's so powerful about it, is that he showed this like immense strength and confidence, and showed other black people that it's okay to stand in your power and to not shrink.
And I urge everybody, if you're not going to watch the movie, just watch the little segment that's all a lot of Instagram posts, and just watch the actor who plays the servant and how he handles that role. It just speaks volumes. It's a great scene. All right, Courtney. So the whole purpose of this was that you were going to tell me how to encourage me how I could be a little more positive going forward. And I still think you can do that. I'm still looking to you for guidance on this, because you are one of the most positive people that I've ever met. So you like exude it. And on the other hand, just today, I know you had sort of a COVID scare. And right now, so much of our conversation in the city of Chicago is about COVID and the inability of the public schools to adequately protect teachers and students from COVID. They're almost like an unwillingness to do so. And it's really very upsetting. But so just talk a little bit about it. At the moment, you don't know if you have it, but you've been tested.
Take
it away.
I've been exposed to COVID, which, you know, so many of us are probably in that boat right now, just because this strain is so incredibly contagious. But I would say that I'm pretty safe. I have been vaccinated and boosted, and I wear my mask, and I do what I feel like I need to do. But I was exposed, and so I did go get tested. I have not gotten the results, but when I went to go to get tested at the testing site, one of the guys that was working there, he said, "Okay, just be patient. We've gone from 90 people here to get, you know, 90 specimens to look through, to 1,900." And he's saying just in the past couple days, it was almost impossible to get an appointment to get tested anywhere. And you would show up to places, and a lot of places are turning away walk-ups they don't have the capacity for it. You can't find any, you know, tests in store. we are really in a space where it's dire. But yeah, the government unfortunately has not stepped up in the way that they should. I mean, there's no reason why all of us shouldn't be having tests at our homes and have access to testing and you know, at all of that. So it's unfortunate, but I feel great right now, you know. And so the hope is that I'm okay. And again, I'll keep the people around me safe, and I'll, you know, do what I need to do and be responsible. But yeah, it's staying positive in this time, I think, is challenging for not just you, Ben, but pretty much everybody. It's a tough time, and we've gone through a couple of really rough years. And it feels like, okay, it's the new year. And I feel like every year it's like, okay, it's a clean slate, but we're bringing with us the baggage from 2021 of COVID. Which is feels like such a bummer, because like, I wanted to start new, and we were, you know, getting vaccinated and we're getting boosted, and it's looking like there's like light at the end of the tunnel, and then we get this new strain that is really knocking us down. So I say breathe. Breath is important. Finding things that inspire us to connect to. You know, I think in a way, it is a blessing in disguise that we lost the great Sidney Poitier. Maybe, you know, it'd be lovely to sit and watch some of his films, and go down that memory lane of, like, you know, what a beautiful artist he was, and how what he gifted us. Finding ways to move, whether it's just a walk. You know, yoga, of course. I'm always gonna amplify yoga, but yoga, walks, and being good to ourselves and the people around us, our loved ones, eating well, taking care of ourselves. That's really all we can do. And for me, it does volumes. So that's how you can do it, Ben. And I feel like you do all those things. I know you walk several times a day, and you have a really wonderful community and people that are around you that love you and you love. And I mean, you do all these things. You're not a curmudgeon. You're just saying that for the people.
I'm just playing one on TV. I'm a big believer in going for walks. In fact, as soon as we're done with this interview, I'm going to go for that walk. And by the way, I just want to let you know, in Chicago right now, I think it's like 20 degrees outside, and that's warm for where it's been. So going for a walk in Chicago is a little different than going for a walk in LA. But I have a tendency, if I may use you as my therapist here, Courtney, I have a tendency, and a lot of my listeners do, to rail and rant against all the injustices I see. And so I began our little conversation railing about what's going on here in Chicago. And sometimes I find it so frustrating, Courtney, that like the intransigence of people in power, their selfishness, their obstinance, their inability to admit when they're wrong, which is just such a fundamental weakness on the part of people. You know, always have to be right. Never can just say, you know what, I was wrong. And like, so right now the mayor of the city of Chicago is locked in a fight with the teachers union. She can't just say, you know, you have a good point. We weren't doing a good job protecting our children and our teachers with the proper protocols for COVID. No, she has to double down constantly. You know what I mean? Battle it. And that's where I get so caught up in it. You know what I'm saying? That's where I start.
Yeah. Well, it's a great flaw. It's one of the greatest flaws, hubris, right? Is just not like believing that we know better than anybody else, or we have all the answers, and not being able to admit when perhaps we have made a mistake, or that we have room to grow and learn and change, which all of us do. No one is immune from that. No one in this human experience is immune from growth and from changing and from shifting. And I do think that people in power find that that admittance kind of harder than anybody else, because when we when we find ourselves in power, I do believe we feel like we're imbued with like a superpower, right? A super strength, power strength that means that we are above like rest of humanity. And that's just simply not true. And I really think that the people in power should be a reflection of the people they're serving, right? We are in service. They should be in service of their constituents. So yeah, it's effed up. Like there's really no way, you know, that's just the truth of it is that it is, it's so turned around. And I it's hard to see a way out, other than just really, I don't know, inviting people to be human. Like, I think that maybe they don't believe that they have the space or the freedom to be human. And that's not what we're asking of them. We don't want you to be anything other than human because your humanity is what makes you a good leader. So it's a shame. And it is, I get why people rant and rave. I get why you're ranting and raving.
Well, is there an exercise that I should do or I should practice in lieu of rant? I, by the way, I will probably rant and rave to the day I die. In fact, on my deathbed, I'll be ranting and raving about something. But is there an exercise that you recommend that, you know, people can do to like work out that frustration? Or let's say you're really down on yourself and you just want to, you know, like just work out the demons that have inhabited your brain. Is there something that like you could recommend that we do?
Yes. But once before that, I want to just say, you know, I think that you rant and rave, yes, but you also take action. And I think that there's one thing to just complain about the things that are not going well. And then there's another to complain about it, but then also take action and be a part of the change. And so even though you're ranting and raving, you're also very active. And I think that that is really important. So give yourself credit for that. Anybody else out there, if you are ranting and raving, then find ways to be active in your community and what can you do to be a part of the change. But on the note of what can we do to release some maybe that stress or that like built pressure, so breath work. There's this one particular breath that we do in yoga, and it's a grounding breath. It's called box breath, and it's really, really, actually, really simple. And I feel like everybody can do it, so I'll just describe it, and then you can maybe you know take it in and practice it on your own when you need it. But you essentially just inhale to a count of four. Or three or five, whatever feels comfortable for you in your breath. Hold your breath at the top of your inhale for that same amount of counts. Exhale for the same amount of counts, four. Let's just say we're doing four. Hold your breath out at the bottom for four counts, and then you just continue to repeat. So you'll inhale for four counts, hold the breath four counts, exhale for four counts, hold the breath out for four counts. And it's just a way to really attune ourselves to our breath. To slow down, to pay attention to the breath, which is our life force, right? And to really ground. So I feel like a really simple way. You can be in the shower doing it. You can be on your walk and doing it. You can be sitting on your couch watching a movie doing it. That's a nice thing I think you can do. And also just any way that feels good to like take care of yourself. So do something yummy for yourself. That's what I feel like. I feel like when I'm feeling down, like eating something really good, like ordering my favorite food or, you know, making my favorite food or, I don't know, taking a nap because I love naps. Well, I don't get a lot of naps now because I have a newborn. I have an infant, but you know. But something really good for yourself. Take a nice shower and just notice how that can relieve some of that pressure.
I'm with you on the naps. I love naps. I'm also with you on the eating thing. I come from a long line of people who love to eat, and I love to eat. So, you know, tonight, for instance, it's going to be very cold, and my wife and I are just going to be at home, and I will definitely watch an old movie. And I think if I see a Sidney Poitier movie, I may watch In the Heat of the Night for the seventh time, because that's how much I love that flick. They call me Mr. Tips. And so I probably take your advice, but I will have something that I love to eat on a Saturday night, you know, maybe some, I don't know what, pizza or chicken or something that I love, but I hear you in that. The other thing that I feel is very important, and this relates to intransigent leaders, but it's just to everybody, and I get your advice on this, and it's the whole issue of what I call flexibility, okay? So, you know, I really find myself falling into patterns sometimes where I'm doing things that I'm just doing them because out of reaction, a reactionary way, Courtney, and I realize that I'm just doing it because that's what I expect to do. That's how other, like my parents did it, you know what I'm saying? And they pass it on to me. And so like the people in my life are always holding me accountable, trust me, when I go too far. So I'm not flexible enough. And I know that one of the principles of yoga is to get more flexible. So I would like Lori Lightfoot, who's the mayor of the city of Chicago, she should sign up for Courtney's yoga classes. Maybe you'll learn to be a little more flexible and not treat everybody who criticizes you as your enemy that you have to defeat and crush. I'm just saying that. So, but let's talk a little bit about flexibility, if you will. What are just some basic things that people could do to be more flexible, not just like flexible in their body, limber, but flexible in their brain and their approach to life?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, that's one of the wonderful things about yoga is that the one of the, you know, biggest principles is flexibility. And so when we were practicing yoga, asana yoga, which is the physical practice of yoga, what we'd say is like, you find flexibility in your body because what, when you're doing movement that is like challenging or whatever the case may be, you are requiring your mind to be able to navigate around the things that will come up, like that negative speak that is not helpful. So you are training your mind to be more flexible as you're training your body. I always say, like, I feel like, you know, most of the, like, people in government are like, people, you know, politicians, like, they must have really stiff spines because they just aren't flexible. Because what we feel internally is represented and reflected in our physical body as well, right? So like, it will show up in our body. So if we are inflexible, you know, mentally and emotionally, it will show up physically. So honestly, a way to find more flexibility mentally and emotionally is to find more flexibility physically. So finding some ways to move, stretching your body will allow you to find more suppleness in all of the layers, right? It will penetrate the layers and it'll go past your physical into your mental and emotional space as well. But again, breath work, affirmations, and honestly, this might be out of left field and not everybody's going to agree, but finding someone to talk to, finding some way to reflect. So whether it's therapy or, you know, you just have like someone that you really trust, a mentor or a peer that you can bounce ideas off of. Because I feel like when we are always in our heads, we can talk ourselves in and out of anything. And we just perpetuate our tendencies. So finding ways to have outward reflection, I think, can help with flexibility as well. Like you said, you have people that call you out in your life that are like, nah, Ben, that ain't the way. Or I'm sure it's, nah, dad, right? Yeah. Your daughters. It's usually more like, dad, no, right? He's pointing. So like finding people in our lives that will reflect back to us the truth, because sometimes we don't know the truth. We can't see it within ourselves. And I think that is what can help with creating more flexibility. But first and foremost, if you can't do any of that, get out of bed and try to fold forward once a day. Just fold forward, like come into a forward fold. See what happens. See if your spine starts to create more space, your legs start to find more space, and see if internally you create more space. Something that simple. Start there.
Wait, time out. Excuse my ignorance. What's a forward fold?
Just like literally hinge at your hips and fold over your legs.
Oh, okay. Like touch your toes?
Like touch your toes or try anyway.
Yeah, that's exactly. Great. That's simple.
It's super simple. Yeah. It's super simple. I tell you, if everybody that listens to this can fold forward once a day and take box breath once a day for 5 rounds, just send my thank you notes to my address. Just send them over.
Yes.
I'm not going to give you my address. That would be weird.
Yeah. Should we inundate you by thank you notes? All right. You said something and I wrote it down. And again, excuse my ignorance, affirmations. So what does that mean?
Affirmations are sayings that affirm what we want to manifest or affirm what we want to see in our lives, affirm goodness. So I am loved. I am capable. I am flexible, right? That is an affirmation. It's calling into existence all that we want, that we desire. And they can feel, I'm very aware. I realize they can feel so silly, when doing them, but again, find a place that feels really comfortable, that feels really familiar, right? Maybe it's the shower, maybe it's your bed right before you wake up or get out of bed or right before you go to sleep. And you can just say it quietly to yourself. But I do think that there is something about, speaking into existence, what it is that we want. So affirmations. Yeah. I say, heck yeah. Why not try it all? I'm a firm believer to try it all. Listen, I want to live a healthy, whole, full, joyful life. And so I am willing to try pretty much anything to make that happen. So, and some things work for some people and some things don't, but you won't know unless you try.
Well, let me ask you this question. And by the way, I do believe, isn't it called, did you say manifest? Isn't that the other word? People say manifest. I feel partly responsible for Trump's defeat last time, 2020, because all I did every day, wake up and beam out those beat Trump vibrations into the air. I believe it had a cumulative effect. And even if he won't admit that he lost, you know, you lost, Trump. Stop trying to pretend you didn't lose. You got all those dummies to believe it. But you lost, and you know you lost. You're a loser. Here, let me just beat that one out. So that's manifestation. Now, even I know about that. I'm doing that with my beloved Chicago Bulls. I'm like manifesting positive vibrations for them to keep winning. So, Courtney, let me ask you this. You're always so positive whenever I see you, and it's just always so great just to be in your presence. I really enjoy it, your company. But is there ever a moment like where you're like, mother beep, and you know what I mean? You're like swearing and you're, you know, where you're, absolutely. You have those moments?
I'm a human being. Of course I do. And I would be a lie if I said that I did not. You know, like, when I found out I was exposed to COVID, like, God, are you serious? I've done everything. I literally traveled state to state for the holidays to visit my family and wore a mask around my family. I did all the things and I came home and I literally was trying to go work out. I got exposed, like, seriously, trying to be healthy. So of course I have those moments. I have those moments, but, you know, they come and they go. And I think that it's okay to have those moments. Like, to repress them, I think we're just holding on to emotions that we're not processing. And it'll come up some way, someday, some way. So let them out when you feel it and then move on. That's the way that I try to approach it anyway.
All right. Very good. Before I let you go, I need to get some recommendations from you. As we started out talking, Courtney is a sensational actress, and she watches and absorbs a lot of shows and movies, et cetera, and so forth. And so always trying to pass on good recommendations. So you got any good viewing advice for the folks?
Good viewing advice. Okay. Well, I will say this. If you haven't watched Dear White People, you should, just because I'm on it. So you can put a face to a name. You know, it is a little young, I have to say. So, my mom, she's like, you know, she watches it for me, obviously, but she's like, it's hard to connect. So I totally get it. But for those of you youngins out there that are listening to this, check it out. And then I think it's our duty, all of our duties to find a Sidney Poitier film and watch it. Ben's going to watch In the Heat of the Night. I might go back to Raisin in the Sun if I can find it somewhere. And just enjoy that one. And also I'm watching Succession. So there's just a, you know, something that's just on the table as well. That it's great acting. I mean, can't get around it. It's freaking great acting. It's wonderful. And those are kind of the things that I'm watching right now. I just finished Insecure, the final season of Insecure. Again, that one's a little young, but for my Black listeners, you might, and white listeners, you never know, but you might enjoy. Yeah, that's it. That's what I'm watching.
I'm going to tell you right now, are you in season 3 of Succession? You're in season 3.
Yeah, this is a movie. We just started.
I'm just going to tell you this right now. That is a TV show where nobody practices any deep breathing. Nobody shows any signs of flexibility. Absolutely. Every piece of advice that Courtney Salls gave us today, ladies and gentlemen, is not practiced by the people in the TV show Succession. I just got to tell you that right now.
Absolutely.
It's filled with people who are just like pounding their way down your throat, whether it's good for you or them or not. Yeah. So I'm just saying.
They need some yoga.
Yeah. You watch Succession, you better do some yoga. What's that one where you, the tree pose after you do
it? Yes, tree.
I am, Raisin in the Sun is your favorite Sidney Poitier movie? Is that correct?
I mean, I think it's my favorite only because it feels really nostalgic and it has like such a meaning for me. It is one of the first that I saw him in, but also I'm a theater geek, and knowing that it was, you know, a play, the screenplay but the play was, you know, Lorraine Hansberry, who I also, what a short life, she's phenomenal. I love her work as well. So I think that's why I don't know if it's like, you know, his best work, but it's also, I don't know. It's just, it's one of his first and it just feels really pure. So I love it. That one's my fave, I think.
Though what I was trying to say earlier about Lorraine Hansberry, a pride and joy of Englewood High School here in the city of Chicago, proud graduate of Englewood before she went on to the University of Wisconsin in Madison. So, yeah, Lorraine Hansberry, one of Chicago's finest. Of course, like most smart people in Chicago, she got the hell out of Chicago as soon as she could. Yeah. But that's
young, gifted, and black. That's her.
Wait a minute. Wasn't I going to be more positive? That wasn't the whole point of this show was to be more positive and not... So let me erase that comment I said. Really cool people stay in Chicago, too.
That's right. You're there.
Courtney, thank you so much for taking the time. And I'm sending out positive vibrations that you don't have COVID. I don't think you do. And I'm going to manifest nothing but clean health for you. Affirmations and manifestations. Thank you very much for being on the show. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Ben.
All right. That's the great Courtney Salls. I'm Ben Jarofsky. Take care, everybody.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.